Begin the current daf Masechtas Bechoras daf Chav Gimel. Begin 9 lines down with the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf, and that is the Gemara introduced a halacha, which ultimately the Gemara brought in because, as we're going to find, we're going to ask related to the halacha of our previous Mishnah. Shlakish to the name of Reb Yehuda Nasi, if someone purchases tzir, brine, fish brine from an Ama Oretz, from an ignoramus, which we assume that they have the halacha of Tumah, they're not careful with the laws of Tumah and Tahara. So he says what you could do with that brine is you could do hashaka, which is basically having that liquid, so to speak, kiss the waters of the mikvah, and then it's going to be pure mimanavshach. Why? Because if the majority is, because they mix and they dilute it with a lot of water, the majority is water, so the water could become tummy from the Ama Oretz, but once you kiss it to the waters of the mikvah, so it becomes purified, which could be only with waters. Now, if the majority is brine, which brine cannot go ahead and have a shaka, but brine is something that's not makabel tummah, so what's the problem? If the majority is brine, you're going to say there's a little bit of water that could be makabel tummah. Well, that's going to be batel, but really, that's going to be nullified in the majority of the brine, which we go based on majorities, and since the brine cannot become tummy, so we're not concerned for that little bit of water that there is. Now, Rabbi Yirmiya qualified this halacha, and he says, well, that permissibility is only going to be if one wants to take this brine and dip his bread into it. But you can't use the brine you're buying from the Ama Oretz and mix it into a pot which has water mixed in over there, because then you encounter what he calls matzah min esmina b'neir. Then the water that's in the brine is going to meet the water of the pot. That water of the pot is going to reawaken the water that's inside the brine. Going to combine, and now they're going to be the majority. Oh, now you're going to be the majority. Now that water was tummy, like we said. We just didn't qualify it because it was batel b'raiv. Now it's going to reawaken it, and it's going to be the majority, and therefore it's going to be tummy, and therefore you can't go ahead and do that. You can only dip it in. Now, as we learned in the previous daf, Abaye disagreed, as actually his words were the final words we quote on the top of this Amud, that he says, if tumah could reawaken tumah, that I could understand. But tahara cannot reawaken tumah. So even if you're going to put it into a pot with water, and the water is finding its same water, so it's the same species, and they could join together forces because the water that was there, okay, is not totally nullified. However, that would not be reawakened by that tahar waters. Maybe tummy waters could reawaken it. That was the teaching of Rabbi Yirmiya. Now, and that's why Gemara continues, it says, Esve. The Gemara asked on Rabbi Yirmiya from the following Mishnah Masechtas Parah, which again, we're focusing on this idea of, which generally one would learn bitl b'raiv, is that we view it as it's non-existent anymore. It's totally nullified. It's not here. However, in Rabbi Yirmiya's halacha, obviously he was saying that, although in practice we view it as not here, but it's still here, it's still extant in some level, and therefore it could be reawakened. The potential is there, and therefore if it finds something else, it could recombine and then become back a problem. However, I'm not thinking about this from the following Mishnah Masechtas Parah. Mishnah says, Efer kosher, kosher ashes of the paraduma, of the red heifer, where it qualifies, which has certain qualifications to be used as in the procedures of purifying a person that became tummy from a mess, shenisarv be'efer mikla, which got mixed with non-kosher ashes, which is just ashes that were like from an oven, just something else that got burnt. So now these ashes are mixed together. Says the Mishnah, holchen acha harov l'tamei. So we go based on whatever is the majority of the ashes to say if we're going to consider whoever touches these ashes becoming tamei, because the pasuk tells them b'mimba yotez when they gave him a hanidi itmo. Someone touches the purification waters with the ashes becomes tamei. So says the Mishnah, viruba efer miklahu. If the majority of these ashes are some other ashes, not the ashes of the paraduma, sin loy matamei. So they're not going to contaminate the person that's touching it, because the majority tells us we go based on that, and that's not. That's not the ashes of the paraduma. And touching regular ashes, the person does not become tummy. On that, as the Gemara in Rabbi Yirmiya, but vi'i amrit tumah. But if you say that something that's a tumah thing that became nullified in the majority, you, Rabbi Yirmiya, says not totally nullified, rather, command the isei dummy, you consider it as if it's still here, which is that if it encounters something else that's tummy, it's going to combine with it. So Nahi, so though you're right that these ashes, that's all mixed together, the ashes of Paradum with the other ashes, that Dibemago Limitame, that if someone touches them, he's not going to become Tame. Why? Because we say we go based on the majority. The majority is regular ashes. And then the person is going to be tar, because we say, what did you touch? The laws of majority tells us, you touched some other ashes, not the ashes of Paraduma, which is not contaminating. But Latame Bemasa, at least let it contaminate by someone who carries the load of all those ashes, because ultimately you carried everything. We can't just say what you touch, oh, the majority tells us it's that. You were carrying everything and you were moving everything. And the Gemara tells us in the first Perek Masechtas Yuma that the ashes of the Paraduma and those purification waters contaminates not just by touch, but also by carrying. So if you're saying it's still here somewhere, although the majority tells us it's not that, but when you're carrying the whole thing, you did carry the Eferchatas, so the person should become Tameh. Why are we saying that he's Tar? Says Gemara, you're right, Hoyet Ma'ala, we actually learned on that Mishnah Masechtas Par, the Amar Bi'is Reb Chanina, he says, Tar Melatame B'maga. That halacha over there saying, yeah, you're purified from what you touched, because what you touched, you didn't touch the whole thing. We're saying you're the probability of Reb is telling you touched that which is Tar. Matamba B'masa, but you're right, it does contaminate by someone who carries it, which is like the halacha of Yirmiyah. But the Gemara continues asking on Yirmiyah. Similar question. Bomer of Chizda. Chizda said, regarding halacha, when you have a piece of nevela, which is non-kosher meat, which wasn't properly slaughtered, which got mixed into two other kosher pieces of meat, which were properly slaughtered. Says Rav Chizda, nevela betela b'shchuta. So that non-kosher piece, which was not properly slaughtered, becomes nullified in the laws of majority of the two kosher slaughtered pieces, and therefore it's not going to contaminate as a nevela piece of meat usually contaminates, because we have over here min b'she'enoi minei. They're different species, and min b'she'enoi minei, when you have two different species, they're nullified over here. Why are they considered two different species? Aren't they both pieces of meat? It's because she'ef shel nevela shel asher shchuta. A non-slaughtered piece of meat cannot become a slaughtered piece of meat. So we're considering these as two different things, and therefore bitl b'rov would apply. When they're the same species, we don't say that. Two different species, and here they're considered different species because they can't be the same thing. Now Rashi actually points out that the girsa should actually be the opposite. The word should say, de'ef shel shchuta. It's not possible for the slaughtered meats, shetias nevela, that they could become a non-slaughtered piece of meat. Because Rashi says the girsa that we have, which says that it's not possible for nevela to become a slaughtered, is actually erroneous. It's mistaken. Because actually it is possible in halacha, in the context that we're talking about, for a nevela to have the halacha of a slaughtered piece of meat, that it should not contaminate, which is the context that we're talking about. For example, when that nevela sours and spoils, the halacha actually is that it loses the laws of Tumah, as the Gemara is going to shortly quote. It's only when it's still fit for the resident convert, for that person that's quasi-related to the Jewish tradition, that then that piece of meat is called nevela. As the Gemara says, Menachas and Perko Kametz Rabba. But the main idea that this Aloha of Reb Chizda is saying is that since they're considered different, that is, it's not possible for at least one of the types to be like the other types, it's considered Mimisha in the Minai, so you have a laws of majority, 2-1, and therefore it's going to be batal. But that, the question is, on Rabbi Yirmiyah, if you say that a Tumah that's nullified, it's not like it's not here anymore. It is like it's still here. What does that mean? The potential of this is here that if we'd meet another thing that's Tumah, like it, it would be Chayzim and they would get reawakened. So then here also, we have the same question like we said before, Nehidim b'magalim etameh, so you're right. If you touch one of the three pieces of meat, we're going to say you're not going to become tameh. Because we're not going to go after that one piece of nevela when you have two pieces of slaughtered. They're considered different species, and the laws of majority tell us you touch the kosher one. But l'tameh b'masa, but there should be a contamination of someone who's carrying, because it'd be carrying. So then we're saying that we're assuming that, okay, so there's the whole thing over here, that should contaminate the person who's carrying them, because you're carrying all of them. And in there, it's somewhere there. There, the laws of majority are not applicable because it's the whole thing that should contaminate with the Tumah of Masa. So here too, Omalei, Sir Bimri said to him, Atun b'd Rav Chizda masnitolo. You actually taught this halacha that you asked from Rav Chizda. Anan b'd Rav Chiyah masnitolo. We actually taught this from Rav Chiyah. And because Tan Rav Chiyah taught this in the Braisa. Says nevela u'shchuta betela zubezu. They're considered min b'she'ena mini, different species, because they can't be the same thing. A slaughtered animal cannot get the tumah of nevela, and therefore the one nevela meat would become nullified in the majority of two kosher slaughtered pieces of meat. Now v'idma Allah, we learned on that teaching that Amar Bi'isa Reb Chanina says tar melatama b'maga. What are we saying it's purified from? From the laws of tumah by touching. But you're right, there would be tumah in carrying, which is exactly like the halacha of Yirmiyah that actually would have the tumah, because it's not, when something's batal b'rov, it's not totally like it's not there. And if it's the whole thing, then yes, you'll have that tumah. We can ask a third question on Yirmiyah. And this is where it relates back while we started this discussion in the previous daf, v'haditnan. But we learned in our previous Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Eimer, he says, Behema gasa, this is related to laws of Bechor regarding situations of doubt, Is this the firstborn animal or not? So the Mishnah was told by Behema Gasa, large animal, Sheshafa Chararas Dam, which had a flow of a cake of blood that came out of it. So on that he said, Harezu to cover, this is buried. The Niftar Min HaBachayra, and now the animal is exempt from the laws of the firstborn, and that's why you have to bury it, because we're assuming that this is the firstborn. It wasn't viable, but it's the firstborn, and therefore now the next child is not going to be the laws of the firstborn. Now, V'tan R'b'chir, B'chir taught in the Brayis, explained this halacha, that in the it's not going to contaminate, not with the laws of touching, not with the laws of caring. The question is, why not? This is obviously, we're assuming that this is a dead fetus, and therefore we're saying that was the firstborn, so it should have the tumma of nevela. So we had previously explained that the reason is because you're right, although this a dead fetus in there, but it's batel b'rayif. There's all these different fluids that are coming out of the animal, which all those bloods and fluids, those are the majority. And therefore the dead fetus, which although it has a tumma, is nullified the majority of the other fluids that are coming out of here. But now the question on Yirmi is that if he says that a tumma, which is this dead fetus, that batel b'rayif, we say it's as if it's still there, however, so am I. So why is Reb Chiya's halacha understand that when you're touching, it's not going to give a tumma. Again, the same idea as the previous question, but the tumma b'masa, let it contaminate by carrying. And here he's explicitly saying that no, it's not going to have not only tumma smaga, it's not even going to have tumma smasa. Says so, Gemara Ishtik, Sir Bimri was silent. This one, he couldn't say that, yeah, you're right, that there's tumma smasa, when Rebbe clearly said it's not going to have. Now, on this, the Gemara says, well, why can't you answer as follows? Dilma Shani Hacha, maybe here this halacha of our mission is different, because the Havila Tumas Rucha, the whole cake of blood is a tumma that's soured and that's spoiled, as we're going to shortly explain. Maybe it's not coming necessarily, at least regarding this halacha that we're asking regarding Masa, because of Bitl Barayv, because you're right, because of Bitl Barayv, it should still have Tumas Masa, but it's not going to have the tumma of a Nevela, which is what this dead fetus is. We don't view it as the tumma of Nevela, because it's totally spoiled, and it loses the status of Nevela to contaminate with the tumma of Masa. So the Gemara, however, says, okay, that your answer you're giving, Hadnichal Bar Prada, that would only work for the opinion of Bar Prada, as the Gemara is going to explain shortly, this machlekes. Dama that he says, Tumma Chamura, the severe level of Tumma that relates to a Nevela, which is that it could contaminate not just by touching, but even by carrying, which is only by severe types of Tummas, that he says is Adliger. That's only as long as this dead animal is fit for the ger taish of the resident convert who keeps some halachas, but it's not a full-fledged ger, that as long as it's edible for him. But if it spoils that a person, a ger would not eat it, so then you're right, then it's not going to contaminate with tumas masa anymore. And here, this cake of blood is obviously not edible by a person, so, you know, it's only, however, that b'tumma kala, it's regarding the more lenient type of b'tumma, that of the tumma of mag, of touching, that's metame ad lekelev until it becomes that even a dog wouldn't eat it. So then you're right, the answer you're giving is appropriate, because holei chazi leger, you're right, this cake of blood is not edible for a person that came out of the animal, just a cake of blood, and therefore it's not going to contaminate with masa, and it's not going to have tumas magi either, because like we said, that it's going to be nullified in all the bloods that come out in the birth, which that's the majority. So you're right, that answer would be appropriate. But that he says, he says, no, that actually both halachas, that of tumas masa and of tumas maga, is up until, as long as a dog would eat it, so achaz lekelev. Lekelev, a dog would eat this cake of blood, and therefore, back to the question, it should contaminate with tumas maga. We understand fine that can be batel b'rayif, but tumas masa it should have. So, as the Gemara Kashi, right, according to the interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yirmiyah's halacha is difficult. Why is Rabbi Chiya saying in this halacha, this fetus that came out as this cake of blood, which we're assuming that it's a fetus, why does it not have tumas masa according to Rabbi Yechanan? That's a difficulty on Rabbi Yirmiyah. Now, once we're introduced, the Gemara clarifies gufa. We had learned, Bar Pada Amar, he said, Tumma Chamura Adliger, the severe level of Tumma that applies to a Nevela, that of Tumas Masa, is only if it's edible, at least that a human, a Ger, would eat it. But Tumma Kala Adlikelev, but the lesser level of Tumma, that of touching, that it's going to still retain that Tumma as long as it's edible by a dog. But Rabbi Yechidim, he says, no, achazov, achazov, adlekelev, no, for both tummas, it's going to retain that ability to be tummy until it's edible for a dog. Says the Gemara, my time with the Bar Pada, what's the reason for Bar Pada? So the reason is because the chesed, the pasuk says in Devarim, it says leisaychlu kol nevela. The Jewish people are not allowed to eat an animal that just died without being slaughtered. Rather, la ger v'gomer, for the ger, the resident convert that's in your towns, tidnen the v'achalu, you give it to him and let him eat it. What that teaches us is that harui leger krui nevela. What's appropriate for a ger, for a person to eat, that's called a nevela, and then it's going to have this severe level of tumma of masa. But v'she'in harui leger in the krui nevela, what's not edible for a ger is not called nevela, and therefore, if it's not harui leger, it's not going to have the tumma of that's unique for a nevela of tumas masa. But says the Gemara, but v'idach, what does Rabbi Yechon hold? He says, no, lemu'ute hecha desricha mi'ikar. This halacha that says, yeah, it has to be edible for a person, that's only regards if it had been spoiled from the beginning. For example, if let's say when the animal was still alive, it broke a leg. And at that point, it already started decomposing. So although it's still edible for an animal, for a dog, there is where we say it's not going to contaminate with the laws of masa, with caring, because it never had the tumma of masa, because from the beginning, before it even died, it already was spoiled. But Rabbi Yechon holds, if in the beginning, when it died, it was edible for a ger, and therefore, so then it had the tumma of nevela of tumas masa, then he holds, as we said, that it's not going to lose that status of tumma until it's already become inedible from even a dog eating it. Now, based on this, the question is evident regarding the previous Gemara, is that, so why didn't we answer for Rabbi Yirmiya? We said, oh, Kashtar and Rabbi Yirmiya from Rabbi Yechon's halacha. Why didn't the Gemara answer? What do you mean? The reason why there's no tumas masa by this chararas dam, this cake of blood, which we're assuming is a dead fetus coming out of the animal, because it's mi'ikar sruchi. It was spoiled from the beginning, and even Rabbi Yechon should agree over there. So that shouldn't be difficult on Rabbi Yirmiya. So on that, as the Gemara is going to shortly say this question and answer, is because, no, that's actually not Sruchim Mi'ikar. Because it is edible for Ger when the fetus was in the womb of its mother. As the Gemara is going to say, and therefore that's not considered Sruchim Mi'ikar, and therefore that is a difficulty under Birmiya, that according to Rabbi Yechanan, it actually should have the Tumas Masa, not like Rabbi Chiyad said, that it's not going to have not only Tumas Maga, but it's not even going to have Tumas Masa. Now, says Gemara, but Ve'idach, Barpada, he would tell you that no, Hesricha Mi'ikar Le'Tzricha Kar Lema'ute. No, regarding that if it had spoiled from the beginning, like Rabbi Yechon wants to interpret the pasuk that everyone agrees it says the qualification is leger for human consumption, he says if it was spoiled from the beginning, then you don't need a pasuk to exclude it to say it's not going to have tumas nevela because afra ba'amu, that's just earth. Obviously it's not going to have any tumas, it's nothing. It's only, he says, that you have to make the miyad as he holds, which is it was edible. And then it spoils, that's what it's saying, it's not going to qualify anymore for the tumma of nevela of masa. Although he agrees for the Tumah of Maga, it's going to have it up until it's Roy Lachilis Kelev. Now, the Gemara asks on Rabbi Yechanan's opinion. Tznan, we learned in our Mishnah, as recorded before, B'lez Ben Yaakov Eimeh, he says, Behem Gasa Sheshafa Charoz Dam, a large animal that flowed a cake of blood out of it. So the Mishnah said, Harizu Tukav, it has to be buried like a dead Bechar. The Nefteres from the Bechar, and now the next animal born is from this mother animal, is exempt from the laws of Bechar. And B'tanya B'chiyah, as we learned in the Brayso, B'chiyah said, Eidim B'tam, Alei B'magav, Alei B'masa. This cake of blood is not going to contaminate, not with Tumas Maga, not with Tumas Masa. Now, why not? In here is the dead fetus. Now, V'am Rabbi Yechon had said, as we had alluded to this teaching before, Meshum Bitl B'Rev Nogubah. Because here's the laws of a nullification in the majority. Because although there's a dead fetus over here, which is Nevela, but all those other fluids and liquids that are coming out of it are the majority, and therefore it's Batl and that Rev. So we don't have the Tumah of Nevela here. On that, as the Gemara, Ma'ir Mishum Bitl B'Rev, why did Rabbi Yechon have to say in this halach of Rabbi Chiyah, because of Bitl B'Rev, typically, D'lo Yischazi Klal. What do you mean? Very simply, since it's never fit for a convert, and then we alluded to this question just before, because it's a cake of blood, who's eating a cake of blood? So therefore, that's why it's not going to have Tumah of Nevela. Forget about saying Bitl B'Rev. Even if it was no Bitl B'Rev, it shouldn't have Tumah. Says the Gemara, No Hanami Yischazi Mi'ikara. No, here it was edible from the beginning, and this is what's called Rabbi Yechon L'Shitasi. Right, according to Bar Padi, you wouldn't have to. It's not edible now, so it wouldn't have. But Rabbi Yechon holds that if it was fit from the beginning, and he, what do you mean? The blood of the fetus was fit, which would have been eaten by a person, Agav Ime, when it was still in the womb of the mother, which then the person would have eaten the fetus that's inside the womb. Now, when it comes out as a cake of blood, he's not going to eat it. But since in the beginning he would have, therefore it's considered something that, according to Rabbi Yechon, would have tumma of masa, and therefore he has to say that it's not going to have the tumma only because now it's going to be batal b'rayv. But regarding itself, it even though now it's not edible for a person, it would still have that tumma of nevela. Now, going back to what we had introduced, because it's related back to Halacha of the Mishnah regarding the laws of fish brine from an Am Haaretz. So the Gemara concludes with such a teaching. Tanan Hasa, we learned over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Machshirin. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he says, Tzir Tahar, if there's pure fish brine, meaning if someone bought fish brine from an Am Haaretz, which we said we do have to be concerned over there that the Am Haaretz, who's Tamei, we assume that he touched it and made it Tamei, but it's pure fish brine because the person took that fish brine from the Am Haaretz and he did Hashaka with it. He went and he kissed it, he touched it, he immersed it in the mikveh, and he immersed it in that water. Now, shenofala teichem mayim kolshu. Now, this fish brine that he has, that's tahar. Now, some water fell into that fish brine. Says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, tummy, now the fish brine is going to be tummy again. Why? So Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabbi Bar Avuhu, he explains, the Zeis Emeris, this halacha teaches us, nech shedu ami aretz, that we suspect that the ignoramus is the Amaratzim, that the la'arav mechtza betzir, that they mixed in to their fish brine, that they diluted, very much so, that 50% of the fish brine is water. So therefore what? So therefore is that now when some little bit of water drops into that fish brine, you encounter a birmiyas halacha of matzah min esminai. Now, the new water finds the old water that's there. Now, the majority is the water over the fish brine, and now it's going to be tummy, because that old water was tummy. It just wasn't, it either was immersed, or it was not the majority, but now it's going to be the majority, and it reawakens that the old water of tummy. Now, according to Abaye, who holds it actually that the tumma that's nullified, it's not going to be reawakened with something tahar like this drop of water. So that Rashi says, according to him, you would have to explain that actually what happened after the hashaka was done is actually that water from Am Haaretz, which that we assume is tummy, that little bit amount of water fell in. So that there he agrees that tumma could be ma'ayr tumma, and therefore, if some water falls in, according to Birmi, or according to Abaye, some tummy water falls in, even just a little bit, we have to suspect that, that just tipped the scales. Now we have majority of tummy waters over the fish brine, and now it's going to be tummy. Now that is the Gemara, but Valamali Mechza, why did Rabbi Bar Avuhu have to qualify and say that we're concerned that the Yab Ma'aretz had mixed in 50% of it water? Afila Betzir Mechza Nami, Bahani Mashu. What do you mean? Even if it was less than 50% of water that he originally had mixed in, and now with this little bit of water that fell in, Havali Palga, their sum total is 50%. Now, let's say he had only mixed in 49% water, and now 1% falls in, now it's going to be 50% water, Upagalei Batal. And now, okay, that at least that 50% of water is not going to be nullified. We don't need it to be the majority, as long as it's not the minority. So why does he have to say it was 50%? Let him say even 49, and now with that 1%, it's 50%. So the Gemara, you're right, say ad mechza, meaning up until half, meaning when it's close to 50%, which is like 49%, and now a little bit of water falls in, and now it's not going to be the minority, then it's not going to be nullified, and then you have the problem of that tummy water being there. Or you might say, if you want, you could say that no. Tumas Am Haaretz d'Rabbanan. The tumma that we give regarding an Am Haaretz is rabbinic. We don't know that he's tummy. That's a rabbinic concern. And also Tumas Mashkin d'Rabbanan. The tumma of liquids is also rabbinic, as the Gemara says in the first Pekim Sefer of Tazayin Menav. And that's the halacha that we're talking about regarding the tumma of mashkin, of liquids. But Rubu Gaz Rabbanan, so since this is a rabbinic decree, it's only by majorities. If we had a majority of the water, which is rabbinic, and the tumma Am Haaretz is rabbinic, then we would say it's a problem. But Palgal Palgal Gaz Rabbanan, when 50-50, the rabbis did not make this decree, and therefore, yes, it was specifically if it initially had mixed in 50. And now with this 1% that goes up to 51, that would be a problem. But you're right, if it's 49 making it to 50 now, that we would not have had that concern. And therefore, that's why he had qualified it that Zeis Emeris, that were concerned that they mixed in 50% of water, and that would make it 51, and then it would be back, tummy, this brine that was bought from the Am Haaretz. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding this idea about doubtful situations, if this is a Bechair, thus having the laws of Bechair or not. So Shimon Lilemer, he says as follows, he says, Halakech behema manikam in oivik hacham, if someone purchases a nursing animal from a non-Jew, and it has an animal with it, the child. So it says in Shimon Lil, ein chayshim, we're not concerned, shema benosha lacheres hayah, that maybe this child, this son that's following this animal is maybe actually a child of a different animal, and therefore maybe now this next child that this animal that the Jew just bought will actually be a doubtful Bechair, And to say that maybe actually this animal had never given birth before, it's just that it took and became the surrogate mom of its friend's son. And although we're talking about that this animal is lactating, has milk, but maybe there's a minority of animals that are lactate, that they have milk, even if they didn't give birth. That's what Shimon Gamliel says, no, we don't say that. Rather, we say most definitely that this child is the son of this animal, and therefore the next animal it's going to have by the Jew is going to be exempt from the laws of Bechera. Similarly, Nichnas L'Teich Edre, if someone goes into his flock, into his farm, V'ra'asam V'kiris Menikis, and he sees the young animals that never gave birth yet, just now it's giving birth. And he sees that these animals are nursing young animals. And he sees those which it's not the first time that they're giving birth, that they're also nursing new animals that were born. Says Reb Shimon Gamliel, in Chayshin, we're not concerned, Shema b'no shel zu b'loy etzel zu, maybe the sons of this one went to this one. Shema b'no shel zu b'loy etzel zu, maybe the sons of this one went to this one. And if that would be the case, we would have to be suspect by all of the new firstborns that maybe that's a Bechair. And each one that has the laws of Safek Bechar, no. That's what he says, most definitely we assume that those which are near the Mefkiris, the one who gave birth for the first time, that those that are nursing for them are definitely the Bechairis. And those that are wrapped around, that are hanging around those which it's not the first time, then most definitely they're not Bechairis at all. Amar Rav Nachman Mishmei Derav, Helchasa Bekuli Pirkin. The halacha is like the Mishnayis of all those Mishnayis in our Perek. Bar Meplukt, except those which have a Machlekes. Now, Amrav Sheishas, he says, Amina, I say, Kinaim B'shachav Rav Amal HaShemaitza. When Rav was dozing off and sleeping, that's when he said this teaching. Because, which Mishnah is he coming to tell us regarding his halacha? Ilem HaReisha, if he's going in the first Mishnah, Perek Anaf Yud Tesem Beis, what, Miflig Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Kiva? That's a dispute. And he said, the halacha is not like Mishnah, it's not a dispute. Elad Rebbe Lezer Ben Yaakov, rather he's going on the next Mishnah, that Rebbe Lezer Ben Yaakov. But Mishnah Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, Kav and Naki. All the teachings of Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov are Kav and Naki. Kav means like a small measurement, which he's not mentioned that many times except a few select times. And Naki, pure, means to say that the halacha is like him. So we don't need Rav to tell us the halacha is like his Mishnah in our parak, because halacha is always like him. Elo, rather, what are you going to say? Adre B'Shimon Gamliel, he's going on the halacha of Amish to B'Shimon Gamliel. But Miflik Pligi B'Braisa, that there's also a dispute in the Braisa. So Ella, what are you going to say? Adrib Yisi ben Meshulam. No, he's going in reference to the next Mishnah, Adrib Yisi ben Meshulam. But Ha'amar Rav Chad Azim, the Rav already said that specifically one time. Because the Amar Rav said, Hilchas Adrib Yisi ben Meshulam. So you wouldn't need his general halacha to teach regarding that. So Ella, rather, what are you going to say? Asar Bal Mum, regarding the hair of a blemished animal, which is a Mishnah Naf Chafayim and Alf. But Miflik Pligya, Kavi ben Malava Arban, that's also Machlaikis. So that's all the Mishnah is in that parak. So which Mishnah is coming to tell us, oh, the Allah is like the Mishnah in that parak, except those that are Machlekes, there is no such Mishnah. So says the Gemara, Lo'olam Adar B'Shimon Gamliel. Rav's halacha was coming to tell us regarding the halacha of our teaching of our Mishnah B'Shimon Gamliel. V'hokam Ashvelon, and that's actually what Rav was coming to tell us, the Braisa Le'Ploktehi, that the fact that there is a dispute on his opinion in a Braisa, that's not considered a machlekes, because since in our Mishnah no one disputes him, that's what Rav was coming to say, halacha is like him. And that's what the Mishnah was referring to. Now, that is the Gemara. So, v'kibin amar Rav helchasa b'kuli pirkin bar mevlukta. So, since he is saying this teaching that the halacha is like all the Mishnah is not perek, except for those that have a dispute, says the Gittin Tabach of Dalam and Aleph, so halacha k'ribyisim in the Meshulam lamali. Why does he have to tell us then a specific halacha that the halacha is k'ribyisim in the Meshulam? But we already know the inferences. If you're saying the halacha is like all the Mishnahis of our parak, and if there's no machlaikis, well, that includes his teaching, which also doesn't mention a dispute. Says the Gemara, no, Iyamar Hilchasadukuli Pirkin, had he only said that teaching that we just quoted before, the halacha is like all the Mishnahis of our parak, V'loyama Hilchasakirbisim Meshulam, and he did not say specifically that the halacha is the Kirbisim Meshulam. So, Havamina, I would have said this that he says halacha Bukuli Pirkin. Actually, Adrab Yisib ben Meshulam Kai, he's actually going on the teaching of Yisib ben Meshulam. Because in my Bekuli Pirkin, what does it mean in the whole parak, which sounds like more than one time? That's actually because Reb Yisi Tartiyama. Reb Yisi in that Mishnah says two halachas. He says one when you pull out here, when you're making room for the cleaver to cut, and also when you pull out here to see the place of the blemish. And that's the plurality of what he says in the whole parak. But actually, regarding the teaching of our Mishnah Reb Shimon, there actually Rav didn't say, because he said Bar Miplukta. And yes, we have a Braisa that Reb Shimon is disagreed upon by the Rabbanan in a Braisa. And actually, we would have thought Uplukta the Braisa Plukta he, that a dispute that's mentioned in the Braisa is considered a dispute to say that Halacha is not necessarily like that opinion. That's why Ashmin Halacha Reb Yisi. That's why Rav had to explicitly say, halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, to reveal and to tell you lashminan that. So what's his other halacha saying? That this, when he says halachas abekuli pirkin, is going on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and to tell you uplokti the brisa laplokti, that a dispute that's disagreed with him from a brisa that's not considered, and therefore the halacha he was coming to say was the halacha of our mishnah of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the halacha is like him. Now, the Gemara clarifies my brisa. What's this brisa that we find that those who dispute the halacha of our mishnah of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is a time like Linda brisa. This teaching, if someone purchases a nursing animal from a non-Jew and has an animal that comes with it that's nursing, says the Tana Kama, say the Chacham, haba achrav b'char mesafik. The next animal born to this animal is actually a doubtful b'char. Why? What do you mean? It already had an animal. No. M'nei shemirachemes, because this mother animal had mercy and loved the son of its friend. Even though it maybe didn't give birth to it, and therefore the next animal is a safek b'char. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he says, as in our mission, he says, no, dove b'cheskase. The things are as it's presumed to be, which is, it definitely seems like that this is its child. And the chen Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, so too he would say, hanichnis l'tech edra b'layla. If someone goes into his flock at nighttime, v'rok eser k'chamish eser, he sees around 10 or 15 animals. There are mafkiris, v'she'in mafkiris. There are animals giving birth for the first time, and those that are not giving birth for the first time. And yoldus, and they give birth. Lamacher hishkim amatzis chamis. The next day he gets up, he knew they were giving birth, he gets up and he finds that there are male animals that were born right now, that are teluyas b'shein mafkiris, that they're hanging around, the animals, that is not the first time they were giving birth. V'nekevis, and the female animals, are teluyas b'mafkiris, they're hanging around the animals, that it was the first time they gave birth. Oh, here the kohen is not going to get anything. Why? Because the male animals are not going to have the laws of Bechar, because they're hanging around the mothers, that's not the first time they're giving birth. And the females, they're the ones hanging around the ones who were the first time they gave birth, but there's no laws of Bechar by in the keva, if the firstborn is a female. Moreover, says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, ain't a chayshish, we don't have to be concerned, to be stringent, and to be in doubt, to say maybe no, maybe it's doubtful b'chayris, and to say shem b'na shalzu b'alei etzelzu. We don't have to say that maybe the sons of this one went to this one, that one went to that one. And maybe actually the males are the sons of the ones who are giving birth for the first time. We don't have to say that. That's halacha we find from Lila Mishnah. And again, that's where we find that there are the time to come and the chum disagree, but that's the rabbis coming to say halacha sa b'kuli pirkin, and not just halacha b'yisa b'nei b'shulam. To say that halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that is, if someone purchases this animal, he doesn't have to assume, he could assume that it's definitely going to be a pashid, and therefore doesn't have to have laws of safek b'char on the next animal that's born.